Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
So we are pre-recording this little intro a week in advance because obviously I'm going away to Ibiza.
Yeah, so don't Zoe actually dumped me for this chat and I had to take it solo.
I mean, the dance floor was calling. I had to go. Look, no, George, well done.
Priorities.
Everyone needs to go for a dance sometimes. Thank you so much for doing it, though. And actually, I was gutted to miss it because I love Susie. I've followed her on Instagram for a really long time and I think she's one of the most real Instagrammers, and I love the way that she documents parenting. So tell me about it. How was it?
No, do you know what? It was an amazing chat. We covered so much. We actually spoke a lot about hyperemesis and just how tricky that can be. When we obviously get into the chat, when I asked her what a day in like her life of being pregnant the second and third time was actually like, and she basically didn't get out of bed for night. Like, I think it was like for 5 months or something like that. So we talked a lot about that. We spoke about her births.
Did she talk to you about her relationship with Greg?
We touched on it. But mainly, of course, she had so much to say about birth and pregnancy and raising three children. And gosh. Yeah. It was a really great chat, and she came on and she was just really open and honest and direct, but still a bit funny, which I like.
She's so funny.
She has this kind of sarcasm and funny kind of edge to anything she's saying, which I loved. Because it kind of kept it a bit lighthearted.
Well, I'm excited to listen to this one, so let's just get straight into it. George, who did you chat to without me?
In case you haven't guessed, I chatted to the lovely Susie Verrill. Yay, welcome to the podcast, Susie. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. Well, I'm recording this sat in bed, so I'm very professional. It's quite nice to be here early on a Tuesday morning. How's your morning been? What have you been up to?
Morning's been good. Obviously done the school run. We made the error of having friends over last night, which means that the kids were like tired and grumpy, and it was more of a rush than normal because they didn't want to get up. You know what it's like when you do the school run. You know, you have visions in your head of how it's going to go. And even if you try and plan everything the night before, it always just tends to be quite just everyone trying to bustle out the door and hectic. But other than that, it's, you know, it's nice back to the routine after 5 years off on
what
it felt like summer was. It just felt like a long time, didn't it?
It did. And do you know what? I can't actually work out whether I prefer my kids getting up early, like for school. So at one point, I think they were getting up before 6 o'clock and I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. But actually, not in a rush for school. We could have done anything.
Yeah.
Or like now, where I have to wake them up for school. And I'm like, oh God, this is awful. We go out in a rush. I can't work out where I want them to be. But it never feels ideal. Anyway, before we get started, for those listening who maybe don't know who you are or haven't heard from you for a while, just let them know like what you've been up to and, you know, I guess who you are, what you're doing.
So I'm Susie and I'm a mum of three. I used to work in social media actually, but for magazine titles, different brands, and used to do some consultancy. And then when I became a mum, I felt really lonely because I was living in a place where I didn't know anybody. I'd moved sort of a year previously to live with my partner, and it was a completely different part of the country. And I just kind of tapped into that sort of mum blogging world that was growing at the time, and just made connections that way. And just being able to talk about becoming a mum when a lot of my friends weren't at that stage was just really good for my mental health, really, because otherwise I would have felt even more lonely than I did. And more recently, I just had my third child a year ago. So we're just trying to juggle life with three, and my partner works full time as well, mainly in broadcasting. So he's away quite a lot. And there's not really, we don't have a routine. Most days are completely different to the others. You know, it's a busy household. We've got a lot of animals. We've got a lot of chickens and dogs. And it's just, we're just trying to muddle through as best we can with a little bit of sort of glam thrown in, you know, red carpet event or whatever. Very normal. And I just talk about it.
Love it. Sounds exhausting when you say you've got three kids and chickens and dogs and oh my goodness. Sounds like a lot. Take us back to your pregnancy. You mentioned that, you know, your friends maybe hadn't had children yet and you felt quite lonely. Take us back the moment that you found out you were pregnant and how that was for you.
When I got together with Greg, my partner, we were both quite eager to start a family, actually. So I was 25 and he was 27, I think, at this point. And we felt quite young, but we also felt like we'd kind of done quite a lot of stuff as well, and we were in no rush to kind of get married or engaged or anything like that, but we were just like, actually we both want children, and we'd quite like to have them sort of soonish. So after about a year we tried and were very lucky that it happened very quickly. One of my friends was pregnant. But again, I didn't live anywhere near her. But aside from that, we had no one around us that had any children. I grew up with three nephews from a very young age. I've got older brothers and sisters. And I felt like really set. I was like, I've done so much babysitting. I've been around kids loads. And at one point I wanted to be a teacher. I'm going to love it. This is what I'm made for. And then the reality was just completely different. We about 4 days in, we just sat at home with, you know, like the baby TV kaleidoscope thing that was playing. Milo was the grumpiest baby you'd ever met because he was a forceps delivery, which I don't think was great. And he had all these like wind issues. And we honestly, like, what have we done? This is miserable. Yeah. We were so sad. And I think in hindsight, we're scared.
Yeah.
Because we just thought, this is not what we thought. The newborn phase was the easy bit. And if we can't even do this and we felt like we were set, then what is in store for us when we hit the terrible twos? We just thought like this was a bit of a mistake. When I look back, I just feel really sad. Such a really sad time.
Yeah. And you both felt like that.
Yes. I think Greg is very practical and very hands-on, and he was excellent. But when we had the frank conversations of like, what the hell is this?
What have we done? Yeah.
Yeah, he was on the same page. And I'd say the only reason I probably feel worse was the physical aspect. Mm. You know, I was a bit resentful of the fact that he could feel the same as me, but he could go off and he was still training at this point. He could do his training. He could go traveling, compete. And he also didn't have a broken vagina. So I just felt like, well, you're still leaps ahead of me. But we were still very much, both sort of on the same page.
Struggling. And how was the birth?
Terrible. it wasn't good. I had no expectations. I was very relaxed going in. Didn't have a birth plan and practiced hypnobirthing. So I did think I was going into it quite calm. Everything went wrong. It ended up with an emergency forceps delivery in the room as I didn't have time to go down for surgery. And it was it wasn't great. It was really quite awful. So I still have to have reconstructive surgery due to just how they did it. So it was all incredibly painful. I don't remember much of it because I went to shock, and then I had to have therapy afterwards for post-traumatic stress disorder. So it wasn't great. Starting point.
And then, because I always find that when you speak to people who've had like a traumatic birth or not got off to the best start or the start that they thought it would be, almost those first six months are just awful because you never get that chance to recover, do you? You're going like straight from what essentially is like a car crash to another one, and then another one, and then another one, and you never have time to like come up for air. Can you pinpoint like when things changed for you? Like when did you start, you know, maybe thinking like seeing the light and thinking, oh, actually, do you know what? This is going to be okay.
Realistically, I think we bumbled through and we did pretty well. And I think with your first baby as well, you're quite keen to show like nothing much has changed and we're still really good. And, you know, 4 months in, I'm going to try and exercise and it's all good here. But I think realistically, it took me to about 15 months to, I one day thought, oh, I'm quite happy and I'm quite content and I'm not overthinking everything. And I think Milo was a little bit more independent and I was getting more back from him. I think that was the real turning point when I felt like this is okay. And we're now a little family and we've got our own groove. And I just didn't have that sort of like heaviness. It felt like life was kind of returning back to normal. Early days, I would say, I remember there being a glimmer of light when he smiled for the first time. And I thought, oh, that's really nice because I feel as though it's like a sort of human now. We know each other and he's not just this person that I've got to look after. Obviously, I loved him dearly, but it was kind of primal, like I just got to look after this thing.
Yeah.
When he was giving stuff back, that, you know, that was quite nice as well. But I certainly still struggled with anxiety and just kind of low. I wouldn't say I had postnatal depression. I would say that I had anxiety and obviously enough to go to therapy for the shock. About 15 months, that's quite a while, I think.
Yeah, and I think it is different for everyone. I find it so like fascinating now. My children are 3 and 6, so I feel like I'm kind of like not out of the woods, but you know, like life is a bit easier now. Mm. And I was one of the first out of my friendship group to have children, and they are all sort of starting to have kids now. So they always, you know, phone me and sort of explain things that are going on. And you think, oh gosh, I want to tell you, like, don't worry about these things. Like, you know, just relax. It doesn't matter if you forget nappies when you go out, because actually there's shops. Yeah. And if you forget them, you can just go and buy some. And if your baby cries, it really doesn't matter. And if this happens, it actually, but that doesn't help. Like, that doesn't help them in that situation, does it? I find it really interesting that there's so many things that I used to feel so worried about, and I felt so stressed leaving the house every time I left the house because they'd poo and then you'd think, oh my God, I'm going to be late. And oh, okay, I just won't go. There's no point. Yeah. I can't go. And they all seem like such little things now, but you know, to any new parents listening, it's such a valid feeling. I think so many of us feel like that, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you can get all the reassurance that you can take in, but it's on you, isn't it, to kind of ride that wave. And then I think if you do go on to have other children, then you do just let it slide because you don't have the time. But that first time, I will always say, you know, when I see a first time mum or if someone messages me, I'm a first time mum, I just always get taken back to that feeling of your whole life changes no matter how it you does. Prepare, and you've just got nothing. There's no way of sort of knowing if you're doing things right and knowing if the feelings that you're feeling are valid. And you do really just have to weather the storm. And I think, like you say, the best thing that you can do is just to say to your friends or the people that you know that are going through it, it will get better. And it is really tough. And whatever you're feeling is what you're feeling, and you're good. You know, it's It's just about letting people know that, isn't it?
Yeah, and also, like, when I think about it, you give birth, however you do that, and then there's this basically a stranger in your house that you don't know. You don't actually know this person that's now living in your house, and you have to do everything for them.
Yeah.
It's imagine if someone said that to you, like, oh, and you're not going to get paid, and you're not going to sleep, and you're really not going to have any time for yourself, and you don't really know them, and they cry, and you're not going to know what it means. You'd be like, oh, no thanks. No thanks. I don't want that job. That job sounds awful.
Yeah, and hard.
And really hard. Anyway, but we've gone on to do it again, so it can't have been that bad. So tell us about your second pregnancy. How was that?
So second pregnancy was when I first experienced hyperemesis. So that was a barrel of laughs. That was awful. I've had two hyperemesis pregnancies. My first one, I didn't suffer. My second and third I did. The second pregnancy was very, very intense and lasted from about 6 weeks until 24 weeks. And I didn't know what was going on. I was on a cocktail of drugs, which made me very drowsy, just to kind of get me through the day, you know, while vomiting excessively. And I had Milo, who was two, so I felt terrible and guilty, and Greg was away a lot, and I just didn't know what was going on. The only thing I could put it down to was maybe I was having a girl, and I had very different pregnancies. Previously, I'd been pregnant with a boy, but then we found out that I was having another boy, so it was purely just the case of, you know, with this pregnancy, you've gone from having bad morning sickness and nausea with the first pregnancy, which went very quickly and was manageable, to hyperemesis, which is a whole other world of hell. But then 5 months after that, I was fine. I was very thin, but felt, you know, got the glow, come off the medication and was fine till the end.
Yeah. And so for people listening, I think it's only recently, like recent years really, that people actually understand what hyperemesis is. I think so many people think, oh, it's just bad morning sickness. Like, you know, just tell us a little bit about what a day, you know, give us a snapshot of what a day was like when you're going through that.
The best way that I can describe it to someone who hasn't experienced it and won't is if you have had gastroenteritis or norovirus, it would be, or terrible food poisoning, perhaps. It would be like that, kind of double it. And then you have an extreme sense of smell. So you are vomiting throughout the day and you feel very unwell, but it can also be triggered by smells and colors, movement, and you become almost, it's almost like you're allergic to life. So if Milo would come in the room, I wouldn't be able to have him in the room because he would smell, and his movement would cause me to be sick. Obviously, it's very upsetting and you feel so unwell. If you try to cry, that can make you sick. And you can't cry either, and you really dehydrate, so you've got no tears anyway. It's essentially a living hell because you know that you have to eat to keep yourself alive and keep your baby alive. I couldn't keep ice cubes down. I couldn't keep pain relief down. Very often I couldn't keep the medication down. There's many trips to the hospital to go on drips. If you're very, very unfortunate, then you can be put on steroids. And I mean, some women have suffered a lot more than me, and I would consider myself like a real sufferer. You know, your kidneys come pack in, your hair falls out. I would spend 24/7 in bed with my last pregnancy, so my third pregnancy. I was in bed from the 22nd of August until pretty much the 1st of December.
Wow.
The only time I got out of bed was to go and have scans or to go to the hospital to have drips. And bear in mind, I've got two children.
Yeah.
It was awful.
And I was going to say, how do you cope with that when you have got two children to look after?
Well, really, everyone else has to step in. And, that, you know, if Greg wasn't here and my mum didn't visit to help, I don't know how I would have got through it. And in all seriousness, I probably would have had to consider a termination, because there is nothing that you can do. You can't look after someone else because you can't look after yourself.
I was going to say that, you know, were there points when you thought, is this actually worth, is this worth it? Can I do this?
Yeah, I've got it. I actually tried to film a sort of video diary this time around. And there was a point when I was 8 weeks pregnant and I'm filming myself in the middle of the night. I'd been sick again. And I just, you know, I'm sort of saying through tears, sometimes knowing that a baby coming at the end of this isn't enough. And that's the truth. And for anyone that has a very wanted pregnancy, to go through that and to get to the point where you think, I just don't know if I can do this just for the sake of having another child, you know, that I feel like that just tells you everything of how much, how acute the suffering is. You really are putting yourself through hell every day, and you're normally just kind of ticking off the dates, another one gone, with the hope that as you get further in, that it's going to sort of ebb away.
Yeah.
This pregnancy, it was pretty much the whole way through, but I managed to stop vomiting by about month 5-6 with the two separate drugs that I was taking throughout the day. And then it was just a case of kind of keeping the nausea and the other feeling, the food aversions, kind of under control until the end.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
You said you obviously this came on in your second pregnancy. Is it a thing that will happen if you had another child? So when you went on to have your third, did you know that you were going to feel like this, and were you prepared, or is it just like not potluck, but you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't?
I think if I'm right, research does show that if you've had it once, then you're more susceptible to having it the next time. It can often be the case that it is worse the next time that you have it. We prepared. I did have to contact my doctors when I was trying for baby number three and let them know. They put me under a team of doctors who specialise in women's health and women's pregnancy. This is NHS, you know, they will do this for anybody. It's just letting them know, and they can look at your notes as well to see sort of about your hospital admissions and the medication that you've been on previously. I contacted Pregnancy Sickness Support, who are a wonderful charity who support women who go through hyperemesis. And it was just a case of making sure that everything was teed up as much as possible. Although there really isn't anything that you can do, if you're going to suffer, you're going to suffer. You have the option of medication. There are some medications which are stronger, which some doctors aren't always happy to prescribe. So I wanted to make sure that ahead of time, I spoke to my doctor to say, I would like to give that a try if possible. And she was great. You know, she made sure that my own doctor is male. And at one point he did try to take over. And it meant that I went a weekend without having any medication in hospital. So it is really important, obviously.
Yeah,
that you
need to be prepared. So you talked about your first birth being really traumatic, but your second and third births were very different. Tell us about that.
My first birth was on the NHS. My second birth, I've spoken about this before, we did decide to go private. And that was purely because we decided to, I had quite a lot of birth trauma, obviously, from the first one. And I just thought, I know that I'm going to become quite fixated on what I would like to happen with the next birth. So I did choose to go private purely because I wanted to have an elected C-section. And I wanted to make that choice without feeling as though I was going to have to prove myself, prove my trauma.
Yeah, fight for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel very lucky, very privileged that we're able to do that. I like to always be very open about that because I haven't had the experience of pushing for a C-section on the NHS. And I don't, you know, I wouldn't be able to give any advice on how to do that. So we chose to go private, and it was a wonderful birth, and it sort of healed some of my feelings of the first one. And I went into having my second feeling very comfortable and set and healthy mentally and physically. So, you know, I'm very appreciative that we were able to do that. And it was, you know, it was a big stretch for us, but we were just kind of like, we're going to have to, let's do everything that we can to make sure that we're not back at where we were before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, like in so many different countries, it's actually so normal to do that. Like one of my best mates, she just had a baby. They live in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, everybody has a C-section. Like everyone does that. And I really do think, like if I had been given the choice, I was 26 when I fell pregnant with my first, and I just kind of went with what I was told. So I didn't really know that there were options, and I just did as I was told. And I think if I had been given an option to have an elected C-section and looked at like the risks and stuff, I probably would have done it, because in some ways, in lots of places, they say that that's actually the safest way to do it. Like you're eliminating so many risk factors. But here there seems to still be some weird thing about it, not with friendship groups particularly, but I do sometimes think there's this, oh, did you do hypnobirthing? Oh gosh, what, you had pain relief? Like it's so odd.
And also this element of, are you going to try for, it's always a natural, you know, I like to say like vaginal and abdominal, are you going to try for a natural birth? And I think, like, if I'd have known what I was heading into,
of course I would
never have tried that. I don't care how they come here, just them out.
Yeah, and it is a bit of a gamble. Like, it's a gamble. You don't actually know how your body is going to be, how you're going to react. Like, it is, it's a huge gamble.
Yeah. Have you had a C-section, or were yours?
No, I haven't. I actually ended up having two okay births. I had an epidural with my first. I was actually induced, all the stuff that sounds really scary, and in NCT they put like induction in red and epidural in red, and actually I just had all of the drugs and I couldn't feel a thing, and it was actually fine, worked out. And then my second, it was over and done within an hour and a half, so I didn't actually have like a second to consider my options, because she was out and done and actually really positive. So but I do think if I actually had researched it and looked at it, I would have probably gone for a C-section, because it would have eliminated lots of the worries and stuff that I had. And it's good, I think, for people to hear that there are actually options. I didn't really know, like, going into it, none of my friends had had babies, hadn't really spoken to anyone about it. I just went and did what I was told. So yeah, I think it's good to hear, and like good to explore those options. I really want to talk to you about breastfeeding, because I didn't get on very well with breastfeeding. Second time maybe a little bit better. I did it for a few months, which I really surprised myself. But you have really got on with breastfeeding. You love it, and you do talk about it on your socials a lot. So yeah, just tell us, I guess, give us a little insight into how it's been for you.
Well, I'm definitely lucky in the sense that I've not really had any complications with breastfeeding. So I think it's quite easy for me to be able to say, you know, oh, it's great and keep going if you can. But then I've never really come up against many hurdles. First off, I've got a good supply and the kids seem to take to it very quickly. So actually, I think I wouldn't have a clue what I was doing with bottles. I've tried it before, like on nights where we've gone out and, you know, I thought like, oh, I'll put some stuff aside and see if they'll take to it. And they don't, you know, hats off to anyone that has to do all of the bottle prep and stuff. I would be baffled. And my first two have both got to two, and then I've weaned them off. First time is because I was pregnant and I didn't fancy tandem feeding, and the second time was because he was waking up. He went through a phase where he was waking up throughout the night, and I felt like I was back to having a newborn, but he was, you know, two, and I just thought, for my own sanity, I'm gonna have to just put a stop to this. So I love it, and I'm happy to do it for as long as we're both comfortable. you know, not just baby. I think it's really important that if we're feeling like we want to get our bodies back now, then it's good to stop. But Daphne's still feeding and she is 18 months and she doesn't show any signs of stopping on, like, you know, that she's making that decision. But I think, you know, if we can get to near two, then great. But I think once we get there, then I'll be done. We then go back to their normal disappointing and flat appearance.
How has it been, like, I guess, being the one that your babies are relying on? Like, have you ever been able to get away, or you just can't do that? It's just not an option.
No, there's no going away overnight. They've all been quite good. If I go out for a while, you know, a bit grisly, but they're okay. They're not particularly clingy. They do know I'm going to come back, so they're fine. None of them have taken bottles. They'd sooner have, I mean, Daphne drinks like water and juice, you know. Yeah. she'd sooner have that and then know that I'm going to come back with boo, as she calls it. But no going away, sadly, while I'm breastfeeding. Greg is great at being the one who cooks. He's good at sort of being like, you know, you sit there, feed the baby, and I'll cook you something and get you a drink. So he's great at that. But yeah, it does mean it's kind of all on me for those first couple of years.
Yeah. And like, I, you know, I think I was always just like wanting to get my life back as soon as possible. I was always in this big rush, like after I'd had a baby, like, that's it, I must get back to normal life again. You know, me and my husband, we've got to go on dates and we've got to have nights away and we've got to do this. But actually, we had a guest on a few weeks ago and she said, sometimes it's good to look at your life in chapters and think, well, this chapter is just family chapter. And then the next chapter, I'll have a friend's chapter. And then the next chapter will be this. And since then, I think, oh gosh, yeah, like, we don't need to keep rushing to the next bit and the next bit and the next bit.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that's a great way of looking at it, because especially now I've had my third and like we're done, I just feel like I'm in no rush to rush it this time around. Yeah. Just this is the point where we've been having kids and we're tired and we're maybe not doing as much as we could as a couple, and we're having just lots of cozy nights in or taking the kids with us, and it is chaotic, but the time will come, especially now, you know, my eldest is almost eight. The time will come when they are less interested and they are doing their own thing. And then I'll have three of those and then we can hang out all the time.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just quite content to be around and to be on demand. It's very quickly the case that they're just then children, you know.
Once they start reception, I think they go in like a little, well, not toddler, but a really small child. And then even after the first week, you're like, oh, okay, fully grown child, basically. Great.
Exactly.
It's just happened. Just before we wrap up, we always like to ask our guests, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given as a parent, or a piece of advice that you'd give to a mate that's just, you know, just had a baby?
So the best piece of advice actually comes from my dad, who is not someone I would normally take advice off of, got to be honest. When we had my first, he said, don't listen to any advice. And I thought that was great. He then went on to say, don't take any advice unless you've asked for it. Don't take any advice from anyone that you wouldn't normally go to advice for, or who's in a trusted position. And that is what I always try to say to other people, because you get so much conflicting advice when you've had your first. You have no idea what's right. And actually, it's just whatever works for you and whatever gets you through those first few months. So unless I'm asking for it, I don't want to hear it. And that's how I try to approach it with my friends as well. Just, I'm not going to tell them anything. I'm just going to sit there till they need me.
Yeah, that's what I think. I find it difficult as well sometimes, because with this podcast, we've been doing this podcast for, I think, 4 years now, and we do two episodes a week, and we sometimes have like experts on, and like you feel completely bamboozled with information. And so sometimes, like, you know, your friends, you know that you could direct them and be like, you could do this, you could do that. And I just have to like zip my mouth up and think, no, if they want to, like, they'll ask, because there's nothing more annoying. And everyone does, I think people, when they give advice, they are trying to help. But unless you've asked for it, you're right. It's not wanted.
No, everyone means well, but it's never the same. It's never that you're never given the same piece of advice twice. So you just end up second guessing, you're overthinking it. So it's yeah, yeah, I just think, you know, seek out the info if you need it and then take it and run with it. But if not, then you're golden. Yeah. You're good.
You're good. And products, like what products do you swear by for all three children?
So the one present I always get my friends when they're pregnant is Sterimar, which is
yes,
what a luxury product.
You put it in a really nice box.
Just a big bow on it.
A big bow on it, yeah.
Here's some Sterimar for your child's snotty nose, because it's great. Like I, yeah, but with Milo, he had a terrible cold at about 7 weeks old. And Greg said, do you know what we'll do? We'll just hold his nose and he'll know to breathe out of his mouth. So we did that and he wasn't doing it. And we were thinking, like, this baby, you know, holding his nose, just, and he kept sort of, we then found out babies can't breathe out of their mouths for the first 3 months. So we almost suffocated our child.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We had no other, we were just like, he's so snotty and he can't breathe. What are we going to do? And my mum, bless her, this was like months later, I could have definitely done with it earlier, said, well, you know, the Sterimar's great. And it's literally just a nasal spray. You spray it up and they either sneeze or it just runs out. And isn't it amazing? I never knew I would love the sight of child snot as much as I'd like the thicker the better. Oh, it's great. So any parent now, I'm like, just shove that up your child's nose all the time.
Sterimar, Sterimar, Sterimar.
Exactly.
It's like my father-in-law with Sudocreme. Like, I've got a cold, Sudocreme. I've broken my leg, Sudocreme. That'd be you.
Lather it on.
Sterimar, here we go.
Exactly. It's the solvable problem.
Anything else, like any other, I don't know, carriers, push chairs, like anything else that you really love?
Yeah, well, we love baby carriers. I love, there's a brilliant woman called Ring Sling Company, and she makes her own slings. She's really cool and single mum, and I have gifted a couple of friends those as well. And it's just so lovely to have, you know, a little baby there, especially if you've got other children, and then you can potter around and just carry on with your normal life, but know that they're there, nice and cozy. And I think other than that, I would say get a baby monitor with a video camera.
Yeah.
Because it just laying down, getting cozy, and then you can literally see him there. You know he's breathing. He's not rolled onto his face. Nothing's fallen off the wall. Just make sure you get one with a video camera. That's all I would say.
Love that. Thank you so much, Susie. It's been great.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Do you think if you had pregnancy in that way, so like as in you could not get out of bed, like couldn't get out of bed. She said she was almost allergic to life. She was even allergic to her own child. Oh, when her child came in the room, she felt sick and she would actually throw up. So she was just allergic to everything. I genuinely don't think I could have coped. I mean, she meant, you know, she said that she did kind of consider whether or not it was worth it. I don't think I could have coped. Like, I really don't. And I just think anyone who is in that situation, that is like, and she said, I don't know if a baby at the end is enough.
Yeah.
I completely get that. Yeah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having norovirus for 5 months?
Well, that's basically what it is. You know, that feeling of when you're really hungover and you're throwing up the next day, that just goes on and on and on. But this was with her middle child. Like, she had another baby.
Yeah, so she, her second and third.
Her third.
Yeah, so her first, she just has sort of average morning sickness, that kind of thing. And then second and third just hit her. I mean, I know you kind of read about it and you hear about how bad it can be, but when you put it into perspective that she literally didn't get out of bed, like didn't leave
what
the house
incredible apart from person. Appointments.
I mean, I know now she probably looks back and think, oh yeah, it was so worth it. But can you imagine while going you're laying it. There and you've got a toddler being looked after by, you know, your partner or her, she said her mum, you just would feel helpless.
Of course she would. Of course she would. The strength to be able to get through it day by day. Kate Middleton had really bad hyperemesis, didn't she as well? Like, horrendous.
Yeah. And like, you obviously spend time in hospital because you're so dehydrated.
Yeah.
I mean, you must get to the birth and just think, yes, come on.
I wonder, is it like a light switch? As soon as you have the baby, does it just go away?
I think so. Yeah, as soon as those pregnancy hormones go, then you feel fine. It's just mad.
I'd go to McDonald's and get myself 24 chicken nuggets and large fries.
Love it.
Or some sushi. No, I go back at D's actually. I go,
I can't think. I probably just go to the cinema and buy loads of pick and mix.
You're so random. What a random thing to eat.
I'm having train tracks fitted on Thursday. Actually, it might not be the full train track, but some kind of metal in my mouth on Thursday.
Oh, God.
And I am not going to be able to eat sweets for 2 years. That's why I've got pick and mix in my mind. 2 years.
You do know what you've signed up for, right? Like, oh,
I've
head train
got
tracks.
To. I've got no choice.
What do you mean?
Well, I've got two baby teeth, so it's either
I've had
this
them for nearly 40 years now.
They'll fall out. The teeth are there. The adult teeth are right there, so they will fall out in the next 6 months if I don't do it. Can you imagine?
Document them on Instagram? Look at George's baby teeth falling out.
Oh my God! I wonder what the tooth fairy pays these days.
Dude, you're way too old for the tooth fairy. Oh my God! You're gonna have train tracks. Have you decided what colour you're gonna go?
It's not like that anymore.
Oh. When I had them, I had purple and green. I used to get the bands changed all the time.
I'm good. I mean, I hope not. No, I think they're quite, like, you won't really, they'll just be clear. Everything will be clear.
Okay.
I mean, even, you can't really see the metal either.
Oh, George, how are you feeling about it? I'm sorry to poke fun at you. I'm actually, how are you feeling
no,
about it?
I'm happy because I've got to do it. Like, I literally have to do it. So there's okay. not really a choice.
Get ready to never snog your husband again as well.
Well, that is an added bonus.
You'll be like a high-class cool girl. You'll be like, I don't kiss on the mouth. You won't be able to.
No blowjobs, no kissing. I mean, it's my dream life, not going to lie.
And on that note, ladies and gents, it's time for us to say goodbye for another week. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow.
Yeah, please do. And any suggestions for guests, any feedback on the podcast, please drop us a DM. We're on at Made by Mamas on Instagram and we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.